Praise the Lord. Dear friends, studying the life and message of Jesus as presented in the Gospels, we have come to see that sometime during the Galilean ministry, in the beginning of Jesus' public activity, he came into conflict with the Jewish leaders. Right from the beginning, the leaders were skeptical and critical about the person, the activities, and teachings of Jesus. They were observing him closely, they were questioning him, and finally, they came into a kind of head-on collision. The Gospel of Mark presents before us such conflicts of Jesus with the Jewish leaders. In fact, five conflicts were presented. And at the end of this fifth conflict that was somehow connected with Jesus' healing on a Sabbath day, the leaders of Judaism decided to do away with him. That's what we saw in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 6. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. So the decision was made. After close observation and controversy and questioning, the leaders decided to do away with him already at the beginning of the ministry. What was the reaction of the common people? It was totally different. Even though the leaders rejected Jesus and they wanted to destroy him, the common people gathered around him. Huge crowds followed Jesus wherever he went. That's what Mark tells us in the following verses. Chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and the region around Tyre and Sidon. Large crowds follow Jesus. So first, Mark tells us that Jesus went away from the synagogue to the seaside. From the sacred precincts of the prayer house, he comes to the secular milieu of the seashore, where people work, where people sweat and toil. He comes into the midst of the working class of people. There, people follow him. So Jesus somehow shifts the area of his activity from the sacred to the secular, from the synagogue to the seashore. And there, people from all walks of life, people of all perceptions, religious convictions, Jews and Gentiles alike, come to Jesus. Not only from Capernaum, not only from the neighboring towns, but from far away, towns like Sidon and Tyre, the Phoenician towns, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. So almost 200 or more kilometer of radius, people come to Jesus to be healed, to be touched by him. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. For he had cured many, so that all who had diseases pressed upon him to touch him. So that is the reason why they came. Jesus was seen as a healer. Somehow strength, power was flowing out of him, and all those who touched him were healed. So people were flocking to him. So this is the situation, the contrasting situation. On the one hand, the leaders reject him, brand him as a blasphemer, as a revolutionary, as a rebel, as a dangerous person. They want to do away with him. But the common people flock to him because they see in him the work of the power of God. And this power of God is seen as a healing power. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly ordered them not to make him known. So in this context, Mark presents us with a new initiative of Jesus. So far, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish leaders, and there was a kind of dialogue. Even though it is a conflict, there was a dialogue with the leadership. Now, Jesus is taking a new initiative. As the leaders have definitely rejected Jesus, he is instituting a new leadership. And that's what we are going to focus our attention on today, the choice of the 12. The 12 whom he called apostles, the 12 who are to substitute the 12 tribes of Israel. We know Israel consisted of 12 tribes, 12 sons of Jacob. And these 12 tribes were called the people of God, God's chosen people. Now, these chosen people have rejected Jesus and God's plan through their leaders. In this context, Jesus is making another choice, another 12. The 12 will stand in the place of the 12 tribes. And that's what Mark tells us in chapter 3, verses 13 to 19. He went up the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him and to be sent out to proclaim the message and to have authority to cast out demons. So this is the introduction of the choice of the 12. It is said he went up on the mountain. Mark doesn't say why he went up. Luke specifies he went up to pray. All the three synoptics tell us that the choice of the 12 was made on a mountain. The context in Mark and Luke is that of rejection from the leaders. So the very situation with the context of the choice show us that the 12 is to substitute the religious leadership of Israel. So the new people that is to come into existence through these 12 is to be the true Israel or the new Israel, the new people of God. And he said he went up the mountain. The mountain, we know in the Bible, is a place of revelation, a place of contact with God, where God reveals himself, where man and God come together. We know the story of Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, where God comes down and meets his people, chooses them, elects them as his own people. We know Mount Moriah, where Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. We know of the mount, a great high mountain where Jesus was transfigured. We know also the Mount of Olives, where he was taken up. Mountain as a place of union between man and God. Mountain as a place of theophany. So a new revelation is going to take place here, a new action. And Luke tells us that Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. That's what he used to do. The whole life of Jesus was permeated by prayer, his dialogue with the Father. Besides that, in particular instances, when an important decision was to be made, Jesus made it a point to spend the whole night in prayer. That he does now before the choice of the 12, that he does after the prediction of the Passion, and he does the same thing before he encounters the cross, spending time in prayer. Prayer for Jesus was a dialogue with the Father. Spend time with the Father and to find out God's will for him. Here Jesus is presenting his case, the situation, before the Father. And the new initiative, the new venture is taken with the full sanction of the Father. That's what Luke tells us. He spent the whole night in prayer, and after the prayer, he chose the 12. Mark continues to tell us, he went up the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted. So there was a crowd that presses around him. And from this huge crowd, the oklos, the Greek called them, oklos, the crowd, from this crowd Jesus calls a few, whom he calls mathetai, the disciples. So those who he wanted, it is his choice. People come to him from those he chooses a few to be his close co-workers. He called to him whom he wanted, and they came to him. So from the crowd, a few people come up to the mountain. The crowd stand at the foot of the mountain. They want to touch Jesus. They want to be healed by Jesus. They want to listen to Jesus. But from this crowd, a next step has to be taken to come to Jesus, to follow, to listen to the call and respond to it. He called those whom he wanted and they came to him. That's how the discipleship begins. Call and response. And the response is to go up the mountain. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles. Apostolos is a Greek word, means the one sent. So he calls these 12 apostles. This is a technical term in the Gospels. In the Acts, we see other apostles. Even Paul is called an apostle, and many others who had personal contact with Jesus, who felt called by Jesus, call themselves apostles. But apostle, in the technical sense, refer only to the 12. The 12 whom he called apostles, whom he sent. And what is the purpose of this call and the importance of the 12? 3 points are made by Mark. First, to be with him, then to be sent out to proclaim the message, and to have authority to cast out demons. The first is to be with him. Jesus calls some from the crowd, and from these disciples, he again chooses 12. The particular purpose that they should be with him. They should be with him always, from the beginning to the end. From the beginning, that is the baptism of John, or the beginning of Jesus' activity, and the end is the resurrection and ascension. So the 12 have to be with Jesus all the while. And that's what the Acts of the Apostles tells us. After the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and after one of the apostles defected, betrayed Jesus and hanged himself, there was a vacancy of one, the 12th. The apostles felt the college of the apostles should be 12. And in order to choose the 12th person, Peter puts this condition in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 21-22. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must be a witness with us to his resurrection. So Jesus calls the 12 to be with him, to be with him always, in order that they will see who Jesus is. They will have the personal contact. Later on, these apostles will be able to bear witness to what they have seen with their eyes and touched with their hands and heard with their ears. So a personal contact of friendship and love is demanded of the apostles to be with Jesus. To be with Jesus, to witness where he preaches, where he heals, and where he casts out demons, his preaching and healing ministry, where he teaches the people. The apostles should know what Jesus was teaching, how he was dealing with people, how he was going about. So they have to experience from their life with Jesus who this person is. The apostles have to be with Jesus also in his triumphal entry to Jerusalem. They are the ones to provide for the vehicle, the donkey. The apostles will be with Jesus at the Last Supper. They will be also the moments of pain, tragedy, so to say, rejection, ridicule, abandonment. The disciples have to be with Jesus at the Garden of Betrayal. They have to be with Jesus in the courtyard of trial. And they have to stand under the foot of the cross to be with Jesus where he cries as a helpless criminal. My God, why have you forsaken me? So the apostle is one who met Jesus in all the phases of his life. What apparently was a failure, was defeat, in fact, turned out to be the ultimate victory. So the apostles have to be with Jesus. The same thing with today's disciples, with you and me. We have to be with Jesus. We have to see Jesus. We have to experience Jesus. Stand with him. Only with this personal contact and life with Jesus can one be sent out. That is the second phase. To be with him, to be sent out to proclaim the good news. Jesus came to proclaim the good news of the Father, the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus started doing. And this activity of proclamation, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, has to be continued to the end of the earth, to the end of the ages, always and everywhere. And this proclamation has to be continued by the apostles. That is the purpose, to send out to the ends of the earth to proclaim the good news. And the third, through the proclamation, they have to cast out demons. Or rather, to liberate people from the forces of evil. Demon, Satan, is a power of evil who keeps the world captive under sin and death. So the apostles are chosen. They are trained to be with Jesus and they are sent out to proclaim the good news so that they can bring liberation for the entire world, for the entire humanity, liberation from the powers of evil, to cast out demons. That is the ultimate purpose. The victory of good, the victory of God over demon, over death and sin, has to be obtained through the proclamation of the good news. Those who believe in the good news will be liberated through Jesus. So with this purpose, he made them 12. And the Gospels give a specific importance to the number 12. 12 is the number of the Israeli tribes. And the 12 apostles somehow substitute the 12 tribes. They become the new leaders of the new people of God. The church is somehow taking over from the Israel. So they call themselves the new Israel or the true Israel. So Jesus is laying the foundation stone of this new church, this new community, new people, by the choice of the 12. And the names are given. All the Gospels speak about the 12, especially the Synoptic Gospels, and the same names are given. And let us see what are the names given to the apostles. The first, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. He is named first in all the lists. He was called Simon. Jesus gave him the name Peter. Peter comes from the Greek word Petra, and Petros means rock. In Aramaic, the language Jesus used, it would have been Kepa. So it is somehow points to the vocation, the purpose of the call. He is to be the foundation stone on which the church is to be established. You are rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Later on, Jesus will tell Peter. Then he has James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, of thunder, somehow depicting their character, their impulsive character, their temper, perhaps. And Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew and Matthew, and Thomas and James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed. When we compare the list in the Synoptic Gospels, two names are somehow different. In the Gospel of Mark and Matthew, you have Thaddeus, whereas in Luke, you have Judas, son of Jacob. And another name, Simon the Cananean, Luke has Simon the Zealot. The adjective Cananean can mean from Cana, or Canaan, but it can mean also a zealot. So one of the apostles definitely had his affinities with the zealot movement, Simon the Zealot. And the last one, Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot can mean the man from Kerioth, but it can also mean a man with dagger, sikar, means dagger. And this Judas also might have been a member of the Zealot movement. We have seen in detail who the Zealots were. This was a kind of revolutionary guerrilla group who were trying to fight the Romans through guerrilla warfare, throw the foreigners out, and reclaim independence for the people. So some of the Zealot elements got into the Apostolic College. We will see them later. So these were the 12 youngsters from Galilee, whom Jesus chose, with whom he will be going around establishing the kingdom of God. These people are to be sent out to proclaim the good news and to cast out demons. Surprisingly, the last one turned out to be a traitor. That is a mystery. Why is it that one of the 12 became a traitor? Why did Jesus choose Judas, knowing that he would become traitor? As a mystery in God's plan. As a mystery of evil in the world. As a mystery of the freedom of man and the predestination of God, which we find it very difficult to understand with our reason. We'll reflect on it even later. Now let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into this world to heal us from all our infirmities, to bring us the good news of the kingdom, to liberate us from the powers of evil. Father, we thank you for instituting your church as a means of salvation, as the way to life. Jesus, we thank you for calling the apostles and calling also us to be with you, to listen to you, to be healed and to be changed by your gospel, to be liberated from all the powers of evil. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.